Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a Man City Show podcast. No Nigel Rothman tonight. We have firmly booted him away. You may think he's gone away for business reasons. Oh, no, no, no. The only business is we've kicked him out. It is me and David Blakeney tonight. Finally, David, you're getting a word. You are the captain of this ship, the star of the show. And David, what a show for you to take charge and take centre attention, because not only are we going to be looking at that game with Leicester on the weekend 1-0, we're going to be joined by Gary Owen, City legend, winner of the League Cup. You're in a League Cup final this weekend, taking on Aston Villa, and you're also in the small business of the Champions League facing Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. So much going on, David. What a show we are set to have. Let's get straight into it. Let's talk a little bit about Leicester. It was hard fought on the weekend. It was away, but it was back-to-back clean sheets, and it was another good performance.
Yeah, I think we had a good second half. First half was not so good. Another missed penalty. Two massive VAR decisions. And a little bit sluggish. And then suddenly, Jesus comes alive. He comes on for 10 minutes and does something that Aguero couldn't do.
Yeah, it was quite fascinating. Amazing. Jesus coming on for, I think he came on in the 77th minute, scored his goal in the 80th or the 81st minute, quickly putting Leicester to the sword. You speak about Aguero's troubles. I think more worrying, David, maybe for City fans at the minute, is that they just can't score penalties. We're hoping that this cup final on the weekend or the European games won't go to penalties either.
Well, it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Funny enough, we've been very good at penalty shootouts. I think we've won our last seven, but although last year against Chelsea in the League Cup final, if I remember, we were a little bit lucky. We had a couple of poor penalties, but if you remember all that kerfuffle going on with their keeper, and they sort of committed themselves suicide last year, Chelsea, in that penalty shootout, because no doubt about it, is the keeper put everyone off on for Chelsea and gave us a bit of a momentum on that. So we're a bit lucky. And Aguero took one of his worst penalties. I don't know how it went in, but it did. So,
yeah, it did. And it was a brilliant victory and 3 points for City on the weekend against a side that are doing really well themselves this year, Leicester. They've been high-flying at the start of the season, blistering form. But why it was a big win for City, David, you know City have been at the forefront of all the headlines, not just dominating the back pages, the front pages at the minute, embroiled in this European ban, serious breaches of financial fair play. I'm sure that you and Nigel and everyone else has spoken over and beyond on these matters. But just because we didn't see you last week, what are your thoughts on this? Because City is still coming out and claiming that they've done no wrong. The truth will out and they will appeal this because they've been honest and transparent.
I think it's interesting, first of all, I think the team's performance, I think there'll be a real solidarity between for the team. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, they really will pull together in the face of adversity. The problem with the UEFA thing is they haven't really made it clear, or I don't think the club have made it that clear, what we're not guilty of. They just said we're not guilty. And it will all come out in the wash. But they're not saying much else. So it's very interesting because we've all read about it and we know, in theory, what possibly has happened. I find it very strange that how stolen documentation can be used and how that can be used and pieced together. And I think what they're saying is the full picture isn't there. But it is a concern because a lot of people are taking a pop at us. Now they're saying all the Premier League clubs want us to be punished for it. And, you know, City are a good club and they do a lot of good things. And, listen, we can't judge them at the moment till we know the facts. But what a shame if we can't play in Europe. What a shame if we do have points deducted against us or they take any massive, you know, punishment against us. Because I think we've done a lot for the league. I think the Premier League would not be the same without City.
But David, and I'm genuinely being honest here, I think every time you've been on the City show, I've always found you very neutral and very biased. You're not City. You're always very honest with how you see things. You're straight down the line, the words I'm looking for. And I love doing this show. I'm always, you know, big fan of our City play and what they've done. But if they have done wrong and they have breached the rules, as that has been claimed, is alleged, you know, it's not just a case of simply saying, oh, look what City have done out there in the league and the community as well. Because if there is these serious breaches of rule breaking, there will have to be consequences, won't there, David? Maybe, and I do feel that probably, you know, UEFA and FIFA are throwing the book at City, making an example of them. Chelsea only got a transfer ban and City could be out of European competition in 2 years. But if they have done wrong, then would your thoughts and opinion change on this?
If they've done wrong, I accept there's some form of punishment. But what I'd like to know is what other people have done wrong as well. Mm. I am sure City are not the only club then. If this comes out that we've done wrong, I'd like to see what else has happened. Because when we've seen what's gone on at UEFA and at FIFA and you read about the World Cup and what happened and
the corruption, you know,
and everything, the corruption, and even within UEFA and their own people, they've also got to get their own house into order. And yes, if we've done something wrong, yeah, we should be punished. I think 2 years is a long time. I think 1 year should be
sufficient.
Mm. What I'm saying is they should look at the good we've done as well when making those punishments. That, you know, they all talk about the greed of City and everyone's having to go about we spend money. Yeah, we had to spend money in the early days or we'd have no chance. No club will ever catch any of these clubs up now if they can't spend money. But they don't have debt. So maybe they need to start looking at what the criteria are is for unfair, you know, for financial fair play, because we don't have a penny of debt. We don't owe any money. So why can United have a £600 million debt? United had a fantastic, they had, you know, they had a 100-metre start and a 400-metre run because they've always had the money in the first place. So they've been ahead of us. So they built their sponsorship up because they've had great runs over the years, way before we did. But anyone who wants to catch up, if we're not fueled on debt, it's a little bit unfair, because if not, you might as well just say the top clubs play and everyone else forget it. You'll never, ever get anywhere near.
Yeah, it's such a good debate. I do see both sides, and PSG are rumoured to be in trouble. And you mentioned if Man City have not got any debt, then, you know, if that's the owner's choice, maybe the criteria should change. But obviously financial fair play, David, was brought in so that each team couldn't go and do this with billionaire owners. More of a fair grounding, a fair footing between clubs. But I understand that. But one thing that maybe City needed from this, if we can take a positive, David, is we knew that Bernardo Silva and the City players coming out saying that the Premier League race was done and, you know, City losing more games than ever before and not really in the running this year. And we couldn't work out why. Not getting the rub of the green. And they've obviously had a wealth of injuries as well. But maybe we're seeing finally now, City have back-to-back clean sheets. We're seeing now that, for want of a better word, David, a united front with the players really coming together. And I say that, obviously, with a smile on my face. But even Guardiola saying, on the weekend, the character they show to get this result, you know, the togetherness they showed, this is an incredible test for us and we passed. This could maybe, David, maybe I'm putting two and two together here, be like almost a secret weapon, an X factor for City to push on and use this momentum, galvanise them for a European challenge.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The two Madrid games now, if not every player is 110% into this game, if they do not now have an incentive to work like they've never worked and be committed like they've never been committed, that is absolutely critical. My only worry is they don't have that leader in them that we had with Vinnie Kompany. And that's it. You need that leader to really spur you on. So someone has got to be a leader there and really, really on that pitch, make them work. Because there's no doubt, if there's ever a time the club really needs to pull together, it's going to be Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think this, if anything, you know, everyone said, what will happen with City now? Are they at a disadvantage? Maybe they could play it into their hands and it is an advantage. Guardiola, very defensive of his team afterwards, saying he still cannot quite fathom, can't believe, David, that this side and his players, their character gets questioned. He said 7 out of the last 8 titles, he means trophies, City have won, and now they go and show a result like this on a weekend, saying, we are so together. He's even saying his loyalty will be shown, regardless, even if City are playing in League Two, David.
Yeah, and that's Pep. I think he loves the club and he loves the players and they're a family. And he's well looked after. You have to remember, he has an amazing relationship with the board, with the owners. And he's given such a free rein to do what he wants. They love him, he loves them. And that's so good. You know, when you look at all the problems in other clubs, that's great. But just back to one very quick one, financial fair play. In lots of other businesses, is it fair that Selfridges have £200 million to spend on their store and maybe a House Fraser Denman don't have the same owners? So, you know, in business, is it not therefore saying, oh, well, no one's allowed an advantage because they've got wealthy owners?
Yeah, I understand, you know what I mean? You can't compare.
But it is still a business.
It's an impossible comparison. It is a business.
But it's a business.
But it shouldn't be, though. This is the argument. This is.
But then take it away from the
people. We want a level playing field,
yeah,
don't
but,
we?
But how can
it's
you
like
be level
Formula
playing
1.
Field?
If you've got a better car, it's not really that team's better. We need a level. Look at the NFL. So if you're the worst team, you get the first pick in the NFL draft. In the NFL, every team has the same amount to spend on wages. And it works for that league because if you are the worst team, next year, ultimately, you're getting the best player in the draft. And also, you can't go, oh, I'm off now to Man City, I'm off to Real Madrid because they're going to pay me £500,000 a week because everyone in the NFL can only spend the same amount. So you truly know if you've won, you know, no one else has got an advantage of us. And it is a business. They can earn more money because they're in a bigger commercial market, certain teams over other teams. You know, obviously the New York-based teams, Los Angeles, etc. So they get more profit, but they can only spend the same.
What happens in Spain? What do you think Madrid and Barcelona have had? Is that not an unfair advantage?
No, I'm not just questioning it down to
that's
City.
What I'm saying,
of course, but we need something to equal it out, don't we, somewhere, David, along the line.
But then it has to be, you take from the top as well. Because it means anyone who's got 600 plus million turnover around, you know, Madrid or Barcelona United will always comply because they've got the money. But what happened with Madrid and the stadium? Didn't they buy the stadium?
Mm. Well, I think the problem here is that they're saying that City are in serious breach. So we're hearing that breaches that no other club has made, and maybe they've cut a few corners that they weren't supposed to, but. I do understand your argument. It sounds like I'm going against City. I certainly am not, but I think they're trying to make an example of City, but we don't know the corners that have been cut by other teams. And I think that's probably City's, anger with it and also their fans, because I know their fans feel wrongly targeted by UEFA.
Well, all I'll say on this now is I just hope one thing is if it does go, when it goes to the court, they might be able to prove a few other clubs as well have done wrong. That would be very interesting.
And, David, I'm all for that 100% because the one thing I want to come out from this is consistency. We can't have one team getting a transfer ban, one team getting a 2-year European ban, and then the third team getting away with it.
There's no VAR point. Then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Consistency.
We'll come on to that. David thinks he come in on his own tonight and we're going at it toe-to-toe. We're certainly not. I know David's a man in the know when it comes to City and what's going on. The European ban, VAR. It's Real Madrid this week and it is Villa on the weekend. But a man who to tell us more about it, not only does he know more about City, he knows all about winning the League Cups, and it is Gary Owen, and joins us next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with David Blakeney from the Man City Show podcast. And there is still time for you, yes you, to join us tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Well, now time for something very special. It's always special on these City shows. And me and David were saying, what a time to have a Man City show. We could do an hour talking about Champions League knockout stages, Real Madrid this week. We could talk about the first final, domestic final of the year, League Cup, Aston Villa on the weekend, but we decided to go all guns out, guns blazing, because Gary Owen, ex-Man City legend, joins us now. And what a time for Gary to join us, because he was a member of the City squad that won a League Cup. Now it is League Cup action on a weekend. Gary, we have to start though at the top, because we know City are embroiled in this battle, this European ban for serious breaches of financial fair play. What are you making of it, Gary?
Well, obviously, not knowing the ins and outs of it all, apart from UEFA, who have been the accusers, the prosecutors, and also the executionists, I think there may be one or two of those that's on that UEFA committee that may have to answer for their own clubs when all this comes out, because I can assure you, the Manchester City feel that they've done nothing wrong. Our CEO, Ferran, came out and publicly stated, it was on Sky, it was on the club website, that the club have done nothing wrong. They've done everything that they need to do, and they're going to fight this. So all the allegations is a little bit premature. I know they've given this a UEFA, but I'd have to say also that if there's any skeletons in that UEFA cupboard, then they will come jingling out, I can assure you, because the club will not leave any stone unturned to show that what they've done is right and maybe what UEFA are doing is wrong.
Gary, hi, it's David here.
I don't know if you heard some of my bits before, but I probably echoed quite a few things of what you've said as well. I also believe very strongly that they need to relook at financial fair play. I think debt should be played part of it. I think it's ridiculous that we don't have any debt, yet still we're getting accused of things. That it's unfair. There's other things that are unfair. You can never get a level playing field when United had such a head start for the last 30 years, and we haven't. So there's things like that. But I also agree with you also that what Ferran has said, and I'm very worried, and I just hope they hang the rest of them out to dry if they start hanging us out to dry, because I think, look at FIFA's record and look at UEFA's record and what's gone on.
I mean, you look at the full financial fair play was about being able to not put your club into a debt situation that would put the risk of the football club and everything that goes with it at large. But I mean, we sustain it. We're profitable. I think we've earned more profits in the last year, probably second in Europe, if not the world. So it stands on its own two feet. We have no debt, and you know, Manchester United and their owners, we know the supporters of Manchester United are happy with their owners, but they are one of the most successful clubs probably in the world, yet they sat on a £750 million debt.
Yeah. Mm.
So how does that work when financial fair play is on about supposed to make sure that you keep your debt under control? United owners will argue the point that it is under. It is under control, because if they ever sell that football club, they'd probably sell it for $3 billion. So yeah. The $750 million means nothing. But all it's doing is going against everything that the financial fair play and what they're trying to do is completely wrong. But I just think that the bigger clubs in Europe that's had all the spoils over the years don't like any new boys coming to town, don't like any new boys coming in time that can compete with them and maybe take a bit of what they've had on their mantle for so long. But yeah. I can assure you, I know that the club will not let this rest until they clear the name, because it's not just about the financial fair play. They're also bringing the football club into disrepute. So the club will do, and you know if you ever think that the football club will not use all their power and their wealth to get the best people to be able to not only clear their name but to maybe bring somebody else into consideration that FIFA found out when they went, and the top men at FIFA are not there anymore. So you can see it goes on in world football, so why is it not going to European football?
Yeah, it's such an interesting one, isn't it, Gary? I think only one that time will tell when it does go to court and we learn more from it. But City certainly not going anywhere without a fight, and good on them. If they haven't done anything wrong, why wouldn't they get the best people to clear their name? Because as you said, not only is the club coming into disrepute, but the club's getting tarnished, and that is not the club that it's been built on. You know, the work that they have done making it into such a wonderful club. We have to, though, turn our attentions to the weekend. It is the first domestic final on the weekend. It is Villa, who obviously aren't in the greatest form, Gary, but they're going to be up for it. It's their first domestic final since 2015. And me and David were just saying that maybe, with all this City news at the minute, in a weird way, it's maybe galvanised the side somewhat, because now they've just got an extra gear and they've got that extra motivation that they didn't realise that they had.
But I think, to be fair, with the quality of players and experience of footballers we've got at that football club now, I don't think it needs a Carabao Cup final or a last 16 against Real Madrid or a derby against Manchester United to spur those players on. I know they earn terrific amounts of money, but you speak to any footballers who play at the highest level, will tell you, money means nothing when you get yourself out there and you go into battle. It's all about personal pride. It's all about winning things. So they won't need any extra motivation because of what's going on off the field. You know, Manchester City have let themselves down a little bit in recent years when they've got to final stage. But I'd also say, without putting my blue tinted glasses on, I'd have to say that we have been absolutely, when you say unlucky, I think unlucky is probably not the word. I think robbed is probably better, because how can a ball that comes off a hand off Llorente when he was at the Etihad, comes off his hand, which obviously helped to create the goal that scored one of their goals. Okay, Aguero, if that's the way we're doing it now, that if you're a toe offside or a shirt cuff offside, then you're offside. Okay, we all go with that. But if it hits the hand and it directly influences a goal, then it can't be. Yet that was not disallowed. We played Liverpool when we played them away, and all those scouts will be listening in now saying, oh, he's just a bit of blue. Fact is fact. If anybody looked at that game, if nobody's telling me that Salah was not offside for that first goal on the halfway line, then everybody needs to get glasses. Okay, you can't do nothing about the second goal because it's a tremendous strike by Oxlade Chamberlain. They get the third goal, that's fine. But then Sane gets a perfectly legitimate goal that was onside, although they give him offside. So, OK, we'll argue all that. So we've had two that we've probably been given wrong decisions against. So we take them back. So we've got a 3-0 deficit. We score early, that's 1-0. Seconds before half-time, Milner comes off his knee, Sane scores, so Sane can't be offside. Yet not only the referee, but though two, well, I don't know what they are, mannequins that stood behind the goals as other officials. Now, if they, between the lot of them, cannot see that it came off Milner's knee and went to Sane, and Sane scored, that he couldn't be offside, then the game, not only with VAR, but the whole officials need changing as well. So we've been really unfortunate in our Champions League when you look at when you get to Champions League situation against the top teams in every country. It is those minor details. And if you don't get that right decision when it's right, then you are going to struggle to...
But the other thing is, Gary, and from my view, is, I think we have been unlucky, but we have thrown things away. You know, we missed a penalty last year, Aguero. That was a disaster for us. The last Real Madrid semi-final, we just didn't attack them. We only needed one goal.
We didn't have a shot. We didn't have one shot on target.
No, and we've caused our own. And my only concern at the moment is we have been a bit flat lately. And I think we've sort of just drifted a little bit. And I think we did need something to give us that extra spur for the Madrid game. There's no doubt, I think, and most people I've spoken to think, if there's ever now an incentive... We got a bit complacent. We were 20-odd points behind. I do think there's something now where they've got... This is it. They've got to really go for it now. And I think it might be an advantage for us.
I would disagree. She said that we've gone flat. I mean, if you look at the stats and the amount of chances that we've had in all those games, let's look at the six games we've lost. Nearly in all those games, we've not deserved to get beat in those games. I mean, how do we get beat against United?
But last year, we weren't getting beat. We were winning those games.
Okay, all right. We totally understand that. But football is all about taking your chances. And if you don't take your chances, our season has been about missed chances. Yeah. We have had enough chances to have won 10 games in games, and we've ended up losing those.
But that's
games.
What I'm saying. We've gone flat because we just...
I don't think flat, but...
Maybe the wrong word is flat, but we're just not taking advantage. We seem to have a brick wall against us in every game.
They've lost that ruthless edge.
Yeah, something's missing.
Well, when you say the ruthless edge, we both agree the same thing. We're missing chances. Mm. Ruthless edge is when you take your eye off the ball and you don't control games. We control every game we play. Mm. We control the game. The only thing that we're not doing is putting the chances away. You look to the season before we scored 100 goals. We were scoring goals from all angles and they were going in the last minutes and everything else. It happens like that sometimes. I mean, why do strikers go for 8 or 9 games and not score when they score for the first part of the season? Mm. Because it just happens and you can't explain it why. Still the same player, he's still playing the same team, he's still getting the same chances, but they don't go in and they don't come away. And that's why players are humans and not robots.
Yeah, it's so tricky. That's what I mean, though. They're just that little extra gear that they normally have. Still such a dominant side, Gary. Have to put you on the spot, though. It is Madrid this week, Villa on the weekend. Two massive games. Just quick predictions for both, Gary.
I think we'll go through. Of course we will. But it's a difficult. It is a difficult tie, both for Madrid and for City. I mean, both of them would rather have chosen somebody else. But for me, I think it's great for the fans, certainly of City, to have Madrid coming to us. We play away first, and then we bring them back to the Etihad. It's two cracking games. There's nothing at Madrid. Madrid is not the same as it used to be. It's a shame that Eden Hazard is injured with that fractured ankle. Bale was sick, but he doesn't seem to play regular for Madrid these days. And Asensio, I think he's out long term as well. So, but Madrid have got a very strong team. Although, the key players like Benzema, Modric, Ramos, they're coming to the end of the career, not the start of the career. So they're not the same Madrid as it was. But let's not take anything away from it. It will be a difficult game. They are only a point behind Barcelona, and Barcelona are not the same team as they were a few years ago. If you look at the last four games, I think they've lost two. Drawn 1-1-1, and one of those is losing to Levante away, and Real Sociedad at home 4-3. So they're not the Madrid as they were, and if you're going to play them, why not play them now?
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating tie, and the game at Wembley on the weekend. City know all about playing at Wembley. Gary, really, really appreciate you getting on. Always,
my pleasure, sir.
Oh, honestly, genuinely a pleasure to hear from you. Just love your insight onto the team, and always good for a debate. Gary Owen there, ex-Man City legend and winner of the League Cup. City will play in that, but we are going to turn our attentions, me and David, to the game in the week because it is Real Madrid. A European preview is up next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined by my co-host David Blakeney from the Man City Show podcast. What a show we're having. So much debate tonight. Two big ones. Gary Owen, ex-Man City legend, just joined us. He wasn't happy with mine and David's choosing of words, our choices of phrases when describing City this season. But that's good because that's what we want on this show. Your opinion matters to us and you can have it tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Now, though, it is Real Madrid. It is the Bernabeu this week, David. When you're talking of European ties, Champions League knockout stages ties, you think of Real Madrid, the Barcelonas, the big teams, going to the Bernabeu, places like this. Gary just said it there, dream tie for the fans, but maybe the right time to face them. Not the side they were, have lost Hazard to injury. What are you making of this contest? Because let me tell you, even before all the news, all eyes were on this fixture.
Well, you probably know that. Most City fans...
Yeah, lost for words, David.
Are waiting for the banana skin to happen. They're waiting for something to go wrong. Someone getting sent off, someone giving a penalty away, someone doing something wrong. you know, with all our success, we've not had loads of massive European nights, those memorable big nights, because we just haven't, you know, in the last few years, we've got some fairly good draws and fairly easy draws, and we've gone through quite well, and we've not, but this sort of night are massive, and we haven't had loads of them, and I just hope that we really stay in the game, we give them a good game, and we come back to the Etihad with the game finally balanced, because we need a big atmosphere at our ground for a European game. With too many games for Europe, a bit stayed, not always sold out. We need this. This is what we need to really fuel, you know, the enthusiasm for the Champions League, because, to be honest, in the league stages, I don't think the fans can get behind it because they're just average games. These are the games we all wait for, and I just hope we're in it for the second leg.
Yeah, and before we get on to how City normally fare in two-legged contests, because we know that that's been a theme of the side as well, do you prefer going away first? Do you think that helps the team because they talk about the importance of the away goal? Or would you prefer, some teams do prefer, playing at home first, maybe killing off a tie behind their fans, getting into a good scoreline before that away fixture? How do you see it, Dave?
We're quite good away, actually. And actually, I'm quite confident the way we play away in Europe. And actually, even in the league, we've been pretty good away. So whether we play first or second, it's 50-50. I used to be really into the fact of being at home for the second leg. But I do think being at home, if we're in the game for the second leg, being at home, this time will be an advantage because I really think the fans will get behind it. It'll be an amazing night. And I think there'll be something different about it. So I'm glad it's the way it is. And we need to, I hope, as a fan base, be quite intimidating for once. And really get to them. So I'm quite happy with the way it is.
One of the things that gets labelled at Man City sometimes, David, in certain quarters, certain sections, is that they struggle in two-legged ties, two-legged contests. I think that's obviously everyone putting two and two together because of their struggles in the later stages of the Champions League when it comes to the knockout stages. What do you make of that accusation of your football team?
Well, it's true, we have struggled, and that's why we haven't got through, because you've got two legs for each of these rounds now, and we're just not good enough on both legs. And I think it's a mentality. I think a lot of us think there's a bit of a mentality breakdown there with just not being focused enough for both games, or just we for some reason we always seem to have a moment when we switch off and we do something silly or give something away, and I don't know why we do that, because when you look at when we play in the league or the cups now at home, we don't have that same, okay, this season, forget in the league, we've been, given a bit too much away. But in general, the last few seasons in the cups, in the league, we've been amazing. We haven't switched off. Last year, 14, 15 games on the bounce we won to win it, and we could never slip up. So the focus can be there. So it must be a mentality in the Champions League. And a lot of us are scratching our heads saying, why? I don't know, maybe the fans were a little bit apathetic because of the whole UEFA thing and us and them and the booing of the UEFA anthem. And is that putting negative thoughts in people's minds when they're playing? I don't know, but I just hope we come alive.
And one thing that I really wanted to talk about is certainly from a fan's perspective, because there's a little bit of a contributing factor to this game this week, a little bit of added spice, because Raheem Sterling has been heavily linked with Real Madrid. It is the team that you play in those knockout stages. He even done an interview with Spanish publication AS, and they asked him about Real Madrid. They asked him about joining him. He went on to say that he was really happy at City, but he's always open to challenges. He was also asked, you know, how much, you know, would it be a dream to play for Real Madrid? And he said, how do I answer that one? Is the camera live or is it just taking pictures? On that same interview, he was pictured with a Man City kit draped over one shoulder, Real Madrid kit draped over the other shoulder. You as a fan, just seeing that and hearing these comments, what do you make of it?
Well, with Sterling, I make of it that I think he needs to start playing a bit better and showing he's good enough to play for them in the first place, because he had a brilliant first half of the season, but he's been shocking the second half. he was falling over. He wasn't scoring. He wasn't hardly passing properly. He couldn't get past his man. And I think he's just got to focus on his game. If he goes to Madrid and has a fantastic game, if he does play, and he's world-class, then maybe one day he can think about moving there, because everyone's got aspirations to probably play. Lots of people want to play for Barcelona and Real Madrid. But before you start talking about that, you've got to show you're one of the best players in the world to go there, and I don't think he is at the moment.
Dave, you know in sport, things can change. In life, things can change very, very quickly. Fans can change in an instant. We're all fickle. We're all do that. Certainly me, I'm no better or worse than anyone. But little things like this, to me, they just wind me up as a fan, because you play for City, you're contracted by City, you are adored by the fans, a fan's favourite. Where was the common sense in just a minute to go, look, if he has got aspirations to play for Real Madrid, they're a huge club, I understand, and maybe one day he would like to challenge himself in a different country, a different league, a different culture. But surely, even, you know, I would go, I'm happy to answer questions. I don't think I'll put a shirt over me because I'm still playing for a team. And I got like, yeah. Where was the common sense? And can things like this, David, what I'm getting at, you know, quickly turn fans off and go, that's annoyed me now. Just that one small thing, and I look at him in a different light. His legacy almost tarnished for a silly, just, you know, irrelevant interview like this.
Well, he has got history of doing rather silly things. Mm. Yeah. There's no doubt over the years he's sometimes said the right thing, he's the wrong thing, sometimes he's done the wrong thing. He's got a lot to thank the club for. City have bent over backwards to make him what he is today. So he's got Pep and City to thank for their support. So doing silly things like that, sometimes I don't know who advises him, because he's done a couple of other things where you go, that's just stupid. Why? Mm. What is the point? And, you know, where he's turned himself around to become a hero in everyone's eyes, and he's done some amazing things. And last year, he was on really a crest of a wave in everything he'd done, and he'd become a real statesman. Well, once you earn that, you've got to keep that going. Don't start losing it by doing silly things. So I do think he just needs to knuckle down, get on with his game, and just be well advised. And sometimes it's better to say nothing than say something wrong.
Yeah, I do agree. But he's Guardiola said he doesn't have a problem with the interview. When Real Madrid or Barcelona come, you know, clubs tremble because they're that big. He defended him. And he also said that Guardiola, he'll be staying around. Do you think this is a case of that, what with the problem City are having at the minute, they would stay around, the likes of Sterling and Sane, if City, the ban is upheld?
I think a lot of the players will stay because they want to be loyal. Mm. I hope people like Sterling realises how loyal they have been, because honestly, whenever you listen to Pep talking about Sterling, all he does is praise him, pat him on the back and tell him how wonderful he is. He is like the biggest supporter of Sterling going. So I think all the players have really should be honouring the club. And I think, and I'm hoping, whatever happens, they stay loyal to our club.
Stay loyal to the club. Well, it is Real Madrid. I have to get a score prediction from you, David. It is away. You're not reading into that. It is at the Bernabeu. Your score prediction, just for this first leg.
I hate to say it, but I'm predicting 3-1 Madrid for the first leg.
3-1 Madrid.
Yeah.
What are you basing that? The way City are at the minute?
I think we're still vulnerable at the back. Laporte's not match fit properly. You can tell. Mendy is only just getting himself back match fit. Even Saint-Gents, whoever plays at the back at the moment are not at the moment. We're a little bit weak at the back, and we are playing Real Madrid in their stadium. And I'm not sure whether we're good at it. One of the things that really frustrating, I wish he played Fernandinho in his natural position. Yeah, because that would really help and place natural defenders at the back, because he keeps playing Fernandinho in the back. And I think that's where we started to lose out. And I'm a bit nervous at the moment with our back four. They're just not fit enough.
Well, David's going for 3-1 at Madrid win. I've got to be honest, I'm shocked to that. But what do you make of it, City fans and other fans? You're watching this game with a close eye. What is your prediction? Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We mentioned the big games. They come thick and fast. And it is Villa in the League Cup final at Wembley, an arena that Man City know very well. And Max Stokes from Villa on tour is joining us to give us the Villa opposition view.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, and that can only mean one thing. It is time for the opposition view. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins, and my co-host, David Blakeney from the Man City Show podcast, and you can be involved tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Delighted to say now, joining us for the opposition view, because it is a big one. We know the big one is Man City Real Madrid this week in the Champions League, but the first domestic final of the season, City against Aston Villa at Wembley on the weekend. League Cup final, first League Cup final for Aston Villa since 2015. Max Stokes from Villa on Tour joins us now. Max, really good to get you on and get your say this evening. I know at the minute you won't be feeling all that chirpy, because since that brilliant semi-final win over Leicester, it's been defeats in the Premier League. Dean Smith bemoaning the lack of fight in his players and ultimately saying that some players have played their way out of contention for the weekend. Not giving you much hope, but is there any hope at all, Max?
Not really. I think, you know, I agree with Dean Smith, what he said after the game. It was pretty brutal, and to be honest, I was there at Southampton. You can't blame him. I think, you know, it's the game before a massive final at Wembley, and the players just didn't look up for it. They didn't look interested at all, and that shocked me a little bit. I think, hands down, it was up there with the worst performances of the season, along with the 6-1 at home to City, you know, the Wolves away game, things like that. We were just abject and didn't look up for it at all. The stats were absolutely embarrassing. Southampton had about nearly 30 attempts on goal. Villa had one shot on target. And, you know, credit to Southampton, they were fantastic on the day. But if we were that poor against Southampton, against Manchester City, I don't give us too much hope. Yes, you know, we went to Wembley, obviously, for the playoff final, obviously, Derby, don't compare to Manchester City. But some of the players will have experience at Wembley, but at the end of the day, I think we are huge, huge underdogs. And I'm going to be honest, I don't fancy us at all.
And do you think in any way that with City playing Madrid and a really tough game for them, depending on the result as well for City, it might give you some glimmer of hope?
Kind of. I think, you know, you've got to take anything you can get at the moment as a Villa fan. And you think City will go all out in the Champions League because, you know, there's this whole thing about they'll get banned, but you know, we can only wait and see what happens with that. So they're going to have to go for it this year. And they've got a fantastic squad. It's not just their first 11 that's scary. It's their whole squad. They've got 20-plus world-class players there. And, yeah, they can play their full strongest 11 on, you know, what is it, Wednesday, and still come with, you know, whether they'll rotate or whatever, they'll still come with a world-class side against Villa. So, yes, it does give me the tiniest bit of confidence because their focus is probably on the Champions League game.
So
even though they have, you know, won the League Cup in the last few years, they're still going to want to win trophies because that's the mentality that they have. So it is the slightest bit of hope, but to be honest, it's not much, yeah. Is it? Let's be honest.
I mean, look, when City play properly, they like Wembley, they're good at Wembley, they play wide, they could be amazing. But I suppose it depends how Dean Smith plays Villa, because I suppose if you play for the draw and then go to penalty shootout, then it'd be all over, won't it? It'd be your cup, because the way we've been taking penalties, it's almost, you wonder tactically whether they'll play for a draw.
Yeah, true. I think the philosophy with Dean Smith is that, you know, we've seen it in the Championship and the Premier League, he goes out to win, and sometimes that's our downfall. And I don't think tactically, it's fantastic because, you know, sometimes this season, you know, start the season, we play four at the back, and it took weeks and weeks and weeks of that not working for us to go 3/5 at the back. And then, you know, in the last few weeks, that hasn't been working, but we're stuck with it. And then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, whether we'll go back to four. But I think he's a tiny bit reluctant to, you know, change it up a little bit. And we don't have the best squad in the world in terms of depth. And I just think we don't have the best options in terms of, you know, changing something to change the tactics. I think that's the downfall a little bit. Whether we'll go for the draw, I don't know. Yeah, we're not going to have much of the ball, are we? We just have to limit Manchester City at this point. It's up to Dean Smith, you know. He said after the Southampton game, like we touched on earlier, there's going to have to be some home truth said there, and maybe we'll take out some of the players because they were that poor against Southampton. But I really don't know. It's up to Dean Smith what he does, but not hopeful. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, Max, it kills me to hear that, you know. Any fan of a football team, and they're in a League Cup final, first domestic final for 5 years, and you go in sort of with that concern. But I completely understand it because it is a strange season for Villa. We're talking about reaching a League Cup final, but wanting, obviously, to survive and stay in the Premier League. Results haven't been that way, and we've seen, haven't we, in recent years, teams going on, we won't mention the obvious one, but some teams going on and winning trophies, then going on to get relegated. Where do you place this one? Because you want results, but then you want to be up for this League Cup final, and it is a strange season all in all, isn't it?
It is. I was saying this against Southampton. I think the thing with Villa this season is we've been so inconsistent, and that's the frustrating thing. I think at Villa Park earlier on in the season, it took Liverpool to the 94th minute to, you know, beat us, and we were winning for, you know, the vast majority of that game. When we played Man City at the Etihad, I think we were in that game, you know, the best part of an hour. But, you know, and then other games, we just look absolutely abject against the teams like Bournemouth, like, you know, Brighton, that, you know, we should be doing much better against, and that's the thing. We're just so inconsistent, and that's the most frustrating thing. And like you said, yeah, it is a frustrating season. It was always going to be tough. You know, a lot of people at the start of the season say, you know, let's take 17th. You know, looking at it now, I think West Ham are still losing. We are 17th. I don't know how, because we haven't been good recently, but I think a lot of people on, you know, social media and things like this are saying, would you rather stay up or would you rather win a cup? But I don't really like that mentality. I think, you know, it's a one-off game, and I don't see why we can't do both. I know I've been saying that I'm not confident, but, you know, that's probably, you know, a raw reaction from the Southampton game when it comes to, you know, standing on Wembley Way and looking at the arch and things like that, you know, the players walking out of Wembley. I might be a tad more hopeful, but, you know, we can only wait and see. I think we can hopefully do both. You know, stay up and win some sort of silverware, which would be fantastic because, like you said, we haven't got to a final in a few years, and our last actual trophy was in '96. So it's been a long time coming for a big club like Villa. Hopefully, we can get some sort of result, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, what is your score prediction then? Because obviously, City have the game this week against Real Madrid. You know, they're going to be all out for that one, so it could play into Villa hands. But Josh, your Villa prediction for the weekend then, Max?
Okay, if Villa are going to get something out of this game, it'll probably be nicking something, 2-1, something like that. But if I'm going to be totally realistic, 4-1 Man City. I might maybe see a scoring, but defensively we've got the worst records in the Premier League by far in every single category in terms of defensively. So Man City will 100% score. It's just, you know, whether Villa can come back. But if I'm going to be totally honest, 4-1 Man City.
4-1 Man City. Max, horrible to hear, but you're making friends on the City Fan Show, that's for sure. Max Stokes there from Villa on tour. Always good to speak to him. He was saying he can't really see anything else there, David. You predicted a Real Madrid win. I don't think you're going to pick a Aston Villa one, are you?
No, City win.
City win, because yeah. City have great history at Wembley at the minute. I know they call it the Etihad of the South, but they do like playing there, yeah. And the history shows it.
It'd be interesting to know how many times they've actually played there in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, I think they've won 7 out of the last 8 trophies on offer to them, which is, yeah, in itself, David, astonishing.
Yeah, and we like the pitch there. I think it's quite a wide pitch. We're good there. I think the players are used to playing there, so that it doesn't get to them, the occasion. I hope the crowd get behind them on Sunday. That'd be good. I'd like a good, because I know Villa will really be up for, you know, atmosphere-wise, really be...
They have to throw everything, yeah, at you, don't they?
And, you know, if we get that early goal, that's when we're at our best. Because then we settle. We're so much better when we settle with an early goal. De Bruyne at Wembley against Watford in the FA Cup final, he was amazing. And if he gets going on that pitch, he's just...
Frightening.
In my opinion, he's definitely in the top 2 or 3 players in the world.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
And to watch, he's amazing. His work rate. So if he gets going, that'd be great. We'll obviously have Bravo. So in goals, that'll always give them a chance somewhere along the line. But, you know, I think it should be a good game. If they come out to play football, it'll be a great game of football.
It will be, but your score prediction then, David?
2-1.
Oh, it's quite close.
Yeah.
Villa making a fist of it, making a game of it. He said 3-1 in the week to Real Madrid, but 2-1, which means City will have won the League Cup again. What a show we will have on Monday afterwards, and what a Sunday you City fans will have. Enjoy the final, and we will see you at the same time next Monday at 9.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.